Okay, so I want you to get your Bible and I want you to find the book of Colossians. And if you like Martin, it's General Electric's power company. So, and it's Colossians. So we'll get that, open that up, because we're going to read it. We've actually read most of the passage this morning. Nathaniel read that. So it's Colossians 1 we're going to look at. But before we look at that, let's pray and ask God to help us hear him speak to us this morning. Father, thank you that you are good and gracious, and thank you for this letter to the Colossian church. And Lord, we know that in this has everything we need to live the godly life and to be your children, and we thank you for that. So Lord, help us to see this morning. Help us to understand that in you there's been a great transformation and a great transfer from death to life. And help us to see this, we pray, Lord, through your word. Amen. So, I don't know, I'm not a Star Trek fan. I know Roger's a Star Trek fan, and I don't know who else is a Star Trek fan here, but one of the famous quotes, catchphrases, is "Beam me up, Scotty." Now, it's actually apparently not used in the episodes, apparently. It's just a catchphrase that someone's developed. But it's when, you know, Captain Kirk, he's in danger or whatever, and he presses the button, and the badge, and he gets beamed. Okay. Oh, okay. Anyway, he goes back to he gets taken from the hostile location and back in the transporter room aboard the Enterprise. And so this was this great imagination of the human mind in movies, to be able to be transported from one place to another. I mean, think about it. Just imagine if you had the ability to be transported away from a situation, even greater things than what, you know, Captain Kirk faced on Star Trek. Well, probably not greater things, but different things. You know, maybe you've had a stressful week and you just press a button and then be transported from that stressful moment to this nice place of relaxation of your choice. Or maybe you've got some current financial, you know, troubles, or the situation is a bit tough, and you could be press the button, press your badge, and transported away into a place of financial security. Or maybe you're just got the news that you've got this life-threatening disease or sickness, and then you could just hit the button and be transported away to this new healthy body. Like, beam me out of here, Scotty. There's plenty of situations in life that we would want to be transferred out of or transported out of. There are problems that if we could press the button and we could take us away from that, it'd be so much easier. Something so much better we could go into. And the good news is that Jesus actually transfers our lives, okay? Jesus has the authority and power to take us from a place where Satan and death rules to a place where Jesus and eternal life rules. And it's the greatest transfer we could ever have in life. It's a transfer that we can be part of today. And that kind of transfer radically actually changes our lives of who we are. So like I said, we're going to be looking at this passage in Colossians 1:1 to 14. I'm going to read that to you. And it starts with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world. It is, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it is also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you have learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us the love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, Ask and you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all with spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So there are three things today I want us to hear God speak to us from this passage. And the first thing is that in Jesus there's been a great transfer, the greatest transfer in our life. Secondly, I want us to think about how that transfer happened, and in the sense of the human side of that, what events took place also on the human side. And then thirdly, I want us to think about and consider the results of that transfer, what it actually means for us today. So this letter was written to a first century church in modern Turkey, and they have heard and believed in Jesus. And so Paul is speaking God's word, God's authority to these people to encourage them. But I want to read to you this great transfer that I'm going to talk about, which is 9 to 14. We'll probably just even read the 13. He has delivered us, verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in which we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, Paul describes a great delivery, a great transfer. We are delivered from the domain of darkness. That is the spiritual realm that Satan controls, the realm that sin is there, where we're slaves to it, and we're captive to it in every way, a place where we are living spiritually in darkness, away from God, and living in rebellion towards God in our thinking and action. He's delivered us from that place. God the Father sent Jesus to deliver us from a place that we were in shame and condemnation before God, and has transferred us into his kingdom. And through Jesus, we are fully redeemed and forgiven. We are people who are no longer guilty of sin, completely forgiven in Jesus. And it's all through his work on the cross. That's why Paul, when he opens the letter, says these amazing words to us and them. In verses 1 to 2, he reads this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ Jesus in Colossae. Do you hear that? These were people steeped in paganism. They were very superstitious people. These were people who were far away from God when the gospel came there. And Jesus has delivered them. He's made them their own. He's transferred them from darkness to himself. And he calls them saints. Paul calls them saints. And sometimes when we think of the word saints, we get this idea that's somehow embedded in us through the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, with their ideas. We live in Swan Hill, that has a school called MacKillop College, and Mary MacKillop is what they would call a saint, and it took a while for her to become that, I believe. But for them, they call it a saint because she's done some sort of miracle, had some sort of holy life, and there's this lengthy process to make him a saint. But Paul, speaking God's word right here, don't worry about the Pope, right here, declares that if we are in Jesus, we are all saints. Not a hospital, but we are all saints together. We are all God's holy people. So if you believe in Jesus, you trust in his work on the cross and follow him, you are holy people before God. And that's good news, because often we look at ourselves and we don't see ourselves as holy people, because we know deep down we struggle with sin. And if it was up to us, we would never become saints. We could never be holy people before God. But as we looked at in verse 12, it is Jesus who qualifies us. It is Jesus who does the work for us, to share in everything that's his, that's in his kingdom. And it's Jesus who qualifies us, not by how good we are, but his work on the cross that makes us saints in the light. So through Jesus, we are declared holy people. We have been transported or transferred to a new location, a spiritual location. That's why in Colossians 2:16-23, which Beth read out, Paul is saying, he gives a list of things and says, don't allow people to disqualify you. You're qualified in Jesus. Don't allow people to make judgments to disqualify you or bring out visions of angels who say, oh no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Or Old Testament regulations and days and feasts. No, Jesus has qualified you. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't allow the lack of things or religious opinions cause you to feel disqualified. Don't let people's ideas of spirituality allow you to be disqualified. If you follow Jesus, you have been transferred from a place of darkness into a new place of righteousness, and where Jesus qualifies you and makes you saints in the light. And so our location has been changed. And if you believe in Jesus, you have been transferred to him. You no longer live under the power of darkness. You are redeemed and taken from death to life. But I wonder, how does this transfer happen in the sense of our responsibility within this? Now, we see Jesus definitely is the major cause of this, because he is the one who does all this for us. It happens through Jesus. It happens through the Spirit's work. We heard that in the different passages in Ephesians that we read. But there's also something else that happens. Look at verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Verse 6, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world, and is bearing fruit. See, they heard. They heard the gospel. They heard what God had to say. And they responded to that. That is the good news, that Jesus restores us back. And so there is this human responsibility to respond to Jesus, to respond to his word. But there's also something else. There's a responsibility for us to tell others. That's how God works. God spoke to Paul. Paul spoke to Epaphras. And Epaphras spoke to the people. And so we do that today. People need to hear about Jesus and respond by trusting in his work of redemption. So people can be transferred or transported from one location, a location that they're deserving punishment and death, to Jesus' kingdom, so they can be called saints, holy people. And that's good news. That is the best news in the world. That's better than Star Trek. Who cares about some stupid alien when we have a wrathful God who judges sin? And that message is not just for these first century pagans living in modern Turkey at the time, but it's for all people. The gospel is to go out to all people. It's global, verse 6. But that message is going out there at that time to all people, and so we take it to all people. Because all people need to know that they're actually living in darkness. And the only way to be out of that darkness, to be transferred out of it, is Jesus. And I wonder how those words shape your life today. Do you realize that God's method to deliver people from the domain of darkness to be kingdoms in his saints is actually working through you? It is Jesus' work on the cross. It is the Spirit's work, but he's actually working through you as you share the word, as you speak the gospel to those around you. I want you to think about your priorities in life. And so often we get so busy. And when it comes to time and our resources, what do we believe is the most important thing for our world, for our culture, for our local people? And I wonder where the gospel fits into that for you. Do you believe it's important for people, not just for your time, but for the finances and for the church? Do we want to see the church grow or shrink? For the gospel to go out or just fade away? I mean, how many people do you know right now that live in darkness, who don't know Jesus? And how will they hear the only hope of them being redeemed? See, could it be that we actually don't even sometimes believe in this stuff? We don't believe that Jesus is really important to people. What would it look like if three people you knew became saints and God used you to share with them? Why not start praying that God would use you. Start praying for those you care about. Ask God to give you opportunities and trust Him as you speak. And I want you to be reassured. Don't think you have to be someone special, someone great. You do not have to be the Apostle Paul. This church, this letter was written to a church started by Epaphras. Now, they reckon Epaphras was probably a tradesman, a guy that sold merchants, merchant guy. So he travelled across to Ephesus. He heard Paul speak. He believed in the gospel. He actually heard it well, and he'd come back to his local town, and he taught it well. Chris, you can take what you hear today back to Hopeton. You can share what you learn, and you could have a church birth in Hopeton. Nathan, you could do the same. You could go back to Quambatook. You could share the words of Christ and have a church planted there. Because this is exactly, the Colossian church is a Quambatook church. It's a Swan Hill church, Quambatook church, and it's a Hopeton church. It's people with the gospel, sharing the gospel, growing people in Christ. And this is an amazing church. I love reading this book because I go, yeah, this is us. This is us. And don't think that they had it easy. This was a very superstitious, spiritual location. Okay, they were fearful of people putting curses on them in the spiritual realms. They would pay money to try and get the curses off them. This is what they were like. And the gospel came in and smashed it. These are everyday pagan people that just turned to Jesus. They were people that were believed in the demonic realms and they turned to Jesus. They heard the gospel through Epaphras, who heard it through Paul. And this guy was just like you and me, and he took it to his local people. And you know what happened in verses 6 to 8? Read this. Which has come to you as indeed the whole world and is bearing fruit and growing as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood it, just as you learnt it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister on your behalf and has made known to us the love and spirit. Now this church, the God's word is doing amazing work, because that's what it's meant to do. Because it's not us, it's His word going out and speaking to people. And transforming people, transferring people from one kingdom that has got no life in it to Christ, which is all life. And so we have nothing to fear because Jesus is all powerful. We read that in chapter 2. He's ruler over all powers and authority. He's set aside all the principalities and rules over them. So we have no fear. As we live in Australia in 2018, no fear but confidence in God. Because God's word is designed to bear fruit, as it is doing here. And the Spirit's work is to bear fruit as people repent and come to Jesus. And as these people understood this, they're responding to God. They understand His grace, verse 6. And they see this grace. They see the grace that God forgives us as sinners. That in Jesus we are completely forgiven, even though we deserve judgment. God declares us as holy people. You see, right now we still do struggle with sin, don't we? We still are sinners because we still sin. But God declares us in Jesus as holy people. Because the punishment for every sin has been dealt with by Jesus. And so now you're viewed as righteous, holy saints. And so there's this sort of wrestling that we have in life, that we have sin, but God declares us as holy people. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. We always thank God, the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before the word of truth, the gospel. You know, this hope. You see, we look at ourselves and we don't have hope because we see our sin. But when we look at what Christ's work has done, we have hope because of the gospel, because of what is laid up for us. So our third point then is looking at the results of that transfer through Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't just transfer us to save us from eternal punishment. That is one aspect. But he transferred us into himself for a reason and a purpose. And so we find our meaning and purpose in Jesus. Look at verses 9 to 12. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of our God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. You know, do you see the results of this transfer from darkness to saints? You see, we are redeemed to walk in a manner worthy of our God. When Jesus transfers us, we are now his people. So we live and walk as his people to give glory to him in all we do. We live this way not to earn it, but because it's who we are now in Christ. We are saints. We walk this way because it pleases our God. It pleases Jesus. We bear fruit because this is our lives. This is who we are. And God is at work in us as his holy people. Jesus is at work in us. And Paul wants them and us to know this, that our transfer is also a transformation, that God is transforming us into his people. And it's interesting because so often we're off chasing God's will for our lives, trying to sit around and trying to figure out what God wants us to do. Verse 9 tells us, partly down verse 9, that Paul wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The will of God is contained in these verses, in this book. God wants us to be living in a manner worthy of being his children. So we don't sit around and wait for God's will. It's pretty clear. A lot of times we want to know what's God's will for our lives, whether we've got to do this job or whatever. God's will is for us to walk as his people. It's very simple. There is no mystery here. You just got to get on with it. Half the time we're worried about this and we're not even walking as his people. Paul unfolds this right through the book of Colossians of what it is to walk as God's people in a manner worthy of him. And as we hear this, we can be a little, wow, that's overwhelming. I know I struggle. I don't know about you, I struggle. I'm sure you struggle. But look at verse 11. May you be strengthened, Paul prays, may you be strengthened all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. See, Paul prays for them because he knows it's hard. Especially when your people still with sin within you, even though you're saints. And so we can pray, as Paul prays, that each of us is strengthened with all of God's power. You see, life that strives to walk in a manner pleasing to God depends on prayer. And I wonder what your prayer life is like. Do you pray for the Holy Spirit's power to come in you or be in you and strengthen you? Do you pray for those around you in the church for them to be strengthened? And do you have patience in your endurance? Think about that statement that Paul says. It's like you're climbing a mountain. So there's an endurance and a patience. It's not an easy walk. He knows that. As sin is being transferred to saints, it's not easy work, but we have God's power to strengthen us. And we have God's word to enable us. And so we live as saints in a world that still has sin in it, still has darkness in it. And so we live in what the Bible calls our old self. And that old self is still active in us. But through Jesus, we have the ability to say no to sin, which we never had before. Because the domain of darkness, the powers that would held us captive, are now no longer over us. Jesus is Lord and King. Doesn't mean we don't struggle. It means that we have the ability to pick up and keep going on. And although it's an endurance, it requires us to be patient in the midst of that. You know, we have a patient God. We have a patient God, and as we fail, we can have joy and hope that Jesus has dealt with our sins. That we need to endure and ask for him to give us the strength to overcome the temptation. Because it's Jesus who qualifies us, not us. Remember that. It's his work on the cross that qualifies us, not us. Paul also tells us that our new transferred lives digs into God's word. Verse 10. We are to increase in the knowledge of Jesus. And the way we do that is being fed on his word. So we can live like him and be like him. Once again, we don't do this to earn our salvation. We do this because we are people of God. And if your life is struggling in a manner that pleases him, then know that you need to be praying and into his word. If you're struggling in this, could it be that you fail to really take it seriously? Maybe your life just gives Jesus the scraps. And it's like, well, you know, I've got my life to live, and Jesus, you can have the leftovers. A life that's hardly in the word or hardly in prayer. You know, so often we can be people who are praying and in the word, but what we're doing has little even effect on our walk. We can be often reading the Bible to tick boxes, praying to tick boxes. Maybe reading the Bible to look for something that we just want to own for ourselves or some sort of theological knowledge, but we have no growth. Our prayer life should change by God's power in us. And our word, the word of God should be changing us. Because our prayer life can request many things, but I wonder when the last time you said to God in your prayer life, Lord, strengthen me, help me to grow, to walk in a manner worthy of you. When's the last time you prayed that? Or would you pray, Lord, I'd like this. Lord, I'd like that. Lord, give me this. Make life a little bit easier for me over here. But when's the last time you actually prayed what Paul is praying here, that they be strengthened in Christ? Do you have that actively in your life? It's time that we change. What is Jesus saying to us today as he speaks through his word? Well, our life is being transferred from darkness to his kingdom, and we are saints. If we believe in Jesus, if we have the gospel, we are lost people. We were once lost people in darkness, now saints in light. And it's his work on the cross that qualifies us into that kingdom. And this is the only way we can be redeemed and be called children of God. And if you can say, yes, that's me, then that is great. That is great to know that Jesus loves you and died for your sins. But what about those who don't know Jesus? What about those who still live in darkness? See, we can be striving our lives to please Jesus, but forget about others. And forget that he is the one that transfers our neighbours, our friends, into the kingdom of light. And so we need to pray for our neighbours. We need to be praying for them. We need to be speaking to them. And I know it's hard sometimes, but let's pray that God give us the courage to do that. Because Jesus is the only hope for all people, and so they need to hear the words of Jesus in order to be delivered. And the good news is that when they hear and they believe, they produce fruit. They live to please Jesus, and they start telling others. That's the good news. And the good news is that they're qualified because of the gospel. You know, I remember when I was at school, I never got picked to play school sports because they looked at my abilities. And they said, you just don't qualify to be on the team. You know, the good thing about being a Christian is, being a saint, is that Jesus is the one that qualifies you. You actually don't have the ability to be on the team. There's nothing good about you, sorry to tell you that, in God's sight. There's no ability that you have, but it's Jesus who qualifies you. But when you're on the team, you start playing the game.
And Jesus strengthens you. Jesus gives you the resources to play the game. So we go and play for him. We bat, kickball, whatever you want to call it, for Jesus. And we pray that he'll help us endure, and we pray for our brothers and sisters that they will endure. Because he is the only hope. And in fact, what he gives us is secure. If you don't know Jesus today, then it's time you start knowing Jesus. If your prayer life is struggling today, it's time to pray to God. If you're struggling in a word, it's time to take his word seriously. If you're struggling to speak to others, don't think you have to be someone special. Start speaking. It can be little words. We looked at that in Jonah. He only said 7 or 8 words and people were changed. Trust God, because it's Jesus who is in authority and it's Jesus who has the power. And so we see that we live in a world that is darkness, but we have Jesus who rules over it. And so we simply trust Jesus in our own lives, and we trust him as we speak. See, when we get this, it's something we can't bury or hide. Epaphras, when he got this, he was a pagan. And he turned and said, "This is the best news in the world." I wonder if we think that, that he's Lord over all and he's the best news in the world. Jesus has transferred us, transferred you into his kingdom, and now you live as saints. So walk in a manner that pleases him. Be fruitful and strive to be like him and tell others. So I want to pray, but then after prayer, I thought, what a great opportunity to just get together in groups of two and ask the other person how I can pray to strengthen you. Let's be like Paul. Let's pray. If you feel a bit uncomfortable with that, then you can have a coffee out the back, come and talk to me. It's all good. But you know, think about that. This is what this Paul was praying for this church. So we want to be a church that's in that too. So let's pray and then we'll break off. Father, thank you that once again your word convicts us where we're at. And Lord, we pray that we can have an appreciation for where we've been transferred from. Lord, that we don't deserve what we have in you, and yet by your grace you've given it. And Lord, help us to come to you in prayer when we struggle in this life. Help us, Lord, to come to you in your word as we struggle to live for you. Lord, help us to share you with others, because we know this is the only hope. Lord, give us the ability, give us the strength. Lord, we know you are sovereign and above all this, but Lord, we know you work through us. And what a privilege we have. The greatest privilege on earth, Lord, is to share you with others. It's the only thing that goes beyond the grave. Everything else we do ends at the grave. But what you offer is eternal, Lord, and of the greatest transporting or great transfer that could ever be done. So, Lord, thank you. Help us to be your people, we pray. Amen.